undressed. Now that he has this reputation of being so generous, now he's really got to live up to it. Now he's got to start actually, being generous. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the end of my lesson. I'm going to go to the end of my lesson and then I'm going to do my lesson. So here we go. Go to the end of the lesson. Oops, went too far. So this, tonight's session is as much about this as it is about our lesson. So this is a sort of a group planning, vision forming. Hey, what do we want this church to do in 2024? So we're going to ask what activities and anything that's Christian, you know, it could be a retreat you think we should have or a series we should have or just, hey, we should go bowling every other month or whatever. Okay. So, we're going to talk about activities we want to have this year. We want to talk about what our vision is, what we see this church becoming and doing this year. And then we'll break up into groups of three or four, our usual thing, and talk about our personal vision for ourselves. Okay, got it? So we're headed there. But in the meantime, I want to, we're going to go, it doesn't matter because I'm just setting the scene here, okay? So you understand that this lesson's supposed to be a little bit shorter, hopefully. All right, but this lesson is to kind of get us motivated to think about our vision for 2024. So that's my goal, is to inspire you to both have a personal vision for yourself and then a vision for the body for 2024. So this is my New Year's sermon, if you will. Okay? Excellent. At most churches in our fellowship, we have a tradition of doing what we call a workshop, a winter workshop. Generally, you do like an all Saturday morning kind of thing. We're doing it tonight. That's why I was kind of like those phone calls. Hey, get those guys here. Why aren't they? I really want them to be here, but amen. All right. So there's two things I'm going to do in this lesson I tend to stay away from. I'm going to use lots of sports analogies. I'm going to use lots of sports analogies. I try to stay away from sports analogies because it kind of turns off a lot of people. All right. And I'm also going to use my own self as an example more than I would normally be comfortable doing. All right. That's just what I'm going to do. This is kind of a motivational talk. So I'm going to kind of talk about myself a little bit more than I normally would. All right. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Our text for the evening. Oh, she is here.
Yep. She's
great. Hey, Eve. Yo. If you want to even get the stand, Zane, it's in the office. Whatever you want to do. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. We are so glad you're here with us, Eve. We're so happy. All right. So, Paul is using a sports analogy, and he's using the Olympics. Now, these are the original Olympics, the actual Olympics. Do you know where the Olympics happened?
In Greece. I don't know.
Yeah, but where in Greece?
Athens.
No, at Mount Olympus.
Of course.
That's why they're called the Olympics.
Yeah.
Because they are named after Mount Olympus, the top of which, you know, Zeus supposedly, you know, all that thing. Okay, great. And, you know, we're I don't know about you all, but I'm really into the Olympics. I'm kind of... Yeah, I mean, I get kind of weird around the time of the Olympics, you know, like, I'll be staying up till 2 a.m. watching, what's that thing with the broom and the ice? No, the broom and the ice thing. Yeah, that thing, yeah, or whatever. Cause, I don't know, I'm just into the Olympics because, the reason I'm into the Olympics is cause, kind of like normal people, sort of normal people do amazing things. So, you know, you got LeBron James, whatever. The guy is a freak. He's an absolute freak. I mean, he's amazing. He's amazing, but he's an absolute freak. You know what I'm saying? So I like seeing people go all in and then do something great. And at the last Summer Olympics, there was one sister from our church in New Jersey. She got the gold medal and...
No.
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely.
Oh, wait, yeah.
Yeah, she broke the world record and everything.
What?
Yeah, yep. Yeah. And that's pretty cool.
What's the basketball?
So we're inspired by those who come out on top in athletic competition. I am. And again, like I said, if you're totally not a sports person at all, I'm unapologetically doing a whole sports thing tonight. Lift that up one level here. Okay, great.
Oh, there's another neck.
Yeah.
Awesome. Another awesome. Another one.
Okay, good.
Neck.
All right. So whether you're into the 49ers or the Rams or the Chiefs or, you know, Steph Curry and the Warriors or LeBron James and the Lakers, whatever. And how about those U.S. women? Well, I know they didn't have the best work. No, the World Cup soccer. They came in third, but that's pretty good, you know. That's exciting. Anyway, so let's read 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like somebody running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So Paul's giving us some great admonitions here for the Christian life. Point number one, run your Christian life so as to win the prize. So let's just imagine. Let's just imagine Davion tonight decided, I'm going to go for the gold medal pole vault in the Olympics. Not in 2024. I think probably I'm not going to. 2028. So that's his goal. All right? So how is that going to change Davion's life if he says, I'm going to go for the gold medal in the pole vault in 2028?
Better start vaulting.
Better start eating right too.
He's going to change the way he eats. He's going to change his sleeping schedule. And he's going to be 24/7 pole vaulting. When he's eating dinner, he'll be thinking about pole vaulting. And when he's, you know, watching and going on a date with a girl, he's going to be thinking about pole vaulting. And he, you know, that's just kind of the way it is. Because, and that's what Paul is admonishing us to do in 2024.
Come on.
Run the Christian race so that you, it, as if you are running to win the prize. Okay? Now in the context, just so you know, he's talking about evangelism and preaching the gospel and bringing people to Christ. This is what he's talking about in the context. I got a skeptical look from saying, let's go back a couple verses. Verse 19, though I'm free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone so to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one having the law, though I'm not under the law, I'm free and all that stuff. All right? So as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak. To win the weak, I become all things to all people. So that by all possible means, I might save some. I do this all for the sake of the gospel that I may share in his blessing. And then he says this. So in the context, he's talking about our mission and our evangelism. But I think we can apply this lesson to any aspect of our Christian life. So I'm going to broaden it out a little bit. Alright, so here's an easy question. This is a super easy question. There's a lot of different events in the Olympics, right? Which event in the Olympics is the best analogy to the Christian life?
Track.
The marathon. The marathon. The best analogy. You'd say maybe the pentathlon or the heptathlon or the decathlon. But I would say, if you think about it, yeah, the marathon, that's probably the best one. Or maybe, what's that one?
Malero.
Hey, Malero! Oh. Woohoo! Alright. You know, where they do the mile swim and all that sort of stuff. Iron Man. They do something like that in the Olympics. But anyway. Alright. So let's say you're gonna run a marathon. I know for some of us is like, yeah, right, whatever. But just try to imagine. Just try to imagine. All right. And let's say not only are you going to run a marathon, but you're going to run that marathon with the intent of winning that marathon. All right. So how would you run that marathon? By the way, this is the scripture I already read. Go to the next slide. I'd say, first of all, you'd plan on making maximal effort. I mean, if you don't make maximum effort, forget winning the race. That's not going to happen. There was a guy who ran the marathon in 2 hours and like 45 seconds.
What?
Broke the record. Yeah, something like 2 hours and 45. Look it up. But not right now. Look it up later. Just kidding. All right. I mean, that guy, do you imagine how he felt when he crossed that finish line? First of all, he felt awesome. But on the other hand, he felt spent. So what I'm asking us to do is in 2024 to give our maximal effort to Christ. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be running the marathon all the time. You're going to be in class. You're going to be working. You're going to be doing your laundry. You're not going to be sharing your faith every minute. You're going to sleep. And you're going to go out and you're going to have fun. You know what I'm saying? So that doesn't mean you're at top level of like incredible spirituality every second. But we're talking about the overall thrust of your life. Number two, you got to pace yourself, right? Right. If you rabbit the first mile of a marathon, you're dead. On the other hand, if you sort of lollygag the first mile, you'll never make up for it. So again, using this analogy, and I didn't make it up. This is Paul. This is Bible here. 1 John 9:24-27. In case you wondered, Malera, that's where we're at. All right. He's like so. We got to pace ourselves, which means, you know, we got to give every effort, but do it in a way that we can maintain it over time. All right. And at the end of the race, though, you're going to be utterly exhausted. So my question is that how you lived your Christian life last year?
Yeah.
Number one. And number two, is that how you want to live your Christian life this year? That's how I want to live my Christian life.
Amen.
So remember I told you I'm going to use myself to almost an embarrassing extent as my example tonight. I confess that ahead of time. So I'm going to do that. So I'll just share a few things. I've ended up in the hospital twice from being out preaching the gospel. And I almost died in Nigeria. I got so sick because I was first in Berlin and then I was in Guinea, and then I was in Ghana, and then I was in Lagos, and I could go on and on and on about all the stuff that happened. But I was so sick, but I'm not gonna go to the hospital. Forgive me, people from West Africa, but, you know, I'm in Nigeria, you know what I'm saying? And then, about a year later, I ended up in the hospital in Georgia. You're saying, well, Atlanta? No.
Yeah.
The country, Georgia. Yeah, and I got sick as a dog in Dubai because I'd been first in Jordan and then I was in Egypt and then I was in Lebanon and then I was in Dubai and then I'm going to Georgia and then I'm going to go to Azerbaijan. And I got so sick I was in the hospital again. And I'm in a hotel in Tbilisi, Georgia, and for 4 days I couldn't even get out of bed. I'm just laying there thinking like, what am I doing here? This is crazy. And I've ended up in a couple places like Joss in Nigerian Port Harcourt where, all right, there's a guy with a machine gun. You know, because this is kind of crazy.
Guarding.
Yeah. One time I was preaching in Mexico City. I was so tired and so sick. I passed out literally in the middle of the sermon I was preaching. I just passed out. I'm like, what? Whoa. Did they notice that? And I got back up and I kept preaching and I finished the sermon. Another time, we were in Hartford. I don't know if I've ever even used this example. We're in Hartford and I was so exhausted. I don't know what I'd been doing. But remember the time the ambulance came to the hotel and they're doing the thing with me and they're,
what?
And all the monitors and stuff like that, right? And it's like, you know, and I guess we're going to let you, and then the next morning I'm up preaching, and it was so bad I could barely even hold myself up at the podium. But you know what? I'm running the race to win the prize. And I can tell you other stories like that. But at the end of every day, pretty much, I'm kind of tired out. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? It's awesome. It's awesome. Do I regret those events? No, I celebrate those events. Too crazy? Probably so. All right? Probably so. And maybe, remember those 3 points? Run to win the prize, you know, every effort, and then pace yourself. I maybe need to work on that just a little bit. But you know what? Hebrews 4:11. The main passage, for those of you who came in just a little late, is 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. We're going to come back there, by the way. That's our main passage. We'll be back there. Hebrews 4:11 says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. God wants us to make every effort. All right. Now look at the person next to you. Look them in the eye. All right. Have you been making every effort? If you have, by the way, this is not a guilt fest. This is not a guilt fest. You know? I know all of us have been making a fair amount of effort. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. I'm really not. I promise you, I'm not trying to do that. But I want you to get a vision, right? That's meant to say the reason we're here tonight is I want to give you a vision for God to use us and you in 2024. And I'm telling you, if you make every effort in 2024, you're going to have a great year. I just guarantee it. It's just, that's the way it works. All right. So now, which is the hardest, and it's going from mile zero to mile 26. What do you think is the hardest stretch in that marathon?
The last
stretch. It's not the last stretch. You've never run a marathon.
The middle part.
Is that right? It's between about mile 15 and about mile 22. Those are the hardest miles. Once you hit about mile 22, you're dying, but you got the end. When you're on mile 16, it's like, oh, I just have 10 miles. By the way, I've done a half marathon. I've done a few half marathons. I've never done a marathon. So I'm just, you know, applying what I know. But anyway, so in running the race, I have a big advantage over Zane. I have a big advantage over everybody here. You know why? Because I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Amen.
You know, because as a Christian, sometimes I'm just tired. And after you've been a disciple for 27 years, you're like, oh man, I'm kind of like on mile 22. Amen. I'm kind of on mile 22. It's like, it's almost ready to say, yes!
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? I can almost taste it. And most of you are in mile one, yeah, or mile two, where you're still like, yeah! You know, just wait till you hit mile seven or mile 14. So you gotta pace yourself. You gotta pace yourself. You gotta run so as to win the prize, and you gotta pace yourself. Alright? Point number two. So, Paul says, the Christian life is like a race. And what's he say? How does he say to run the race?
To win the prize.
Run it in a way as if you were gonna win the race, alright? But point number two, but the Christian race is not like a regular race. Because in the Christian race, everybody who crosses the finish line wins. Everyone who crosses the finish line wins. So really, although you want to run the race to win the prize, you know what I'm saying? But You don't have to win the race. You just have to finish the race. Whew! That's a relief. And, you know, I mentioned doing half marathons. Yeah, I've done a few half marathons, but I'm so slow. In fact, one half marathon, I was so slow because they would give a t-shirt at the end of the race. I was so slow. When I got to the end of the race, they said, no, you took too long. We don't give you a t-shirt. It's like, wow. Hello? Oh, man. It's not like they ran out of t-shirts. It's like I took too long. I didn't get a t-shirt.
Wow.
Another one, I was running with a brother who's like really fast, and so they already were finishing up the award ceremony when I finished the race. And anyway, I got his award for him. He'd already gone home. But anyway, all right.
You should say I'm the toodle, not a her.
And so, but another difference between the Christian race and like an actual marathon is it's kind of like the rock and roll marathon. Now the only person in this room, no, you might even know about the Rock and Roll Marathon. The Rock and Roll Marathon is not like any other marathon. Cause in the Rock and Roll Marathon, they have rock and roll bands. Like, you're running 26 miles and every mile there's a band playing some rock and roll or whatever. And so, it's like, you get entertainment during the marathon. That's a great marathon. If I was ever gonna do a marathon, which I'm never gonna do one, I would want to do the Rock and Roll Marathon. And the Christian life is kinda like that. Because, you know, you got this thing way out there and you're pushing hard, but you're pacing yourself knowing you're gonna run out of energy, but you get like the rock band in the middle. You get to see Tiani get baptized on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Oh, did you guys know that? Yeah, Tiani's getting baptized on Sunday. Yeah. All right. So keep her out of car accidents between now and then, or bicycling accidents. Okay. So, you know, the Christian race is not a competition, except maybe with yourself, if you will. And everybody who finishes the race gets the prize. All right, point number three. This one Paul makes. All right, point number three, which is they got a laurel wreath. Now, in the Olympics nowadays, they give you this gold medal. That's bogus. I'm just kidding. It's not bogus, but it. From the Greeks' perspective, that is bogus. Because you know what you got when you won an Olympic race? You got a laurel wreath. Alright? How long do you think that laurel wreath lasts? It's like fresh for about a couple of days, and it gets crunchy and then probably breaks apart. They did it on purpose, right? They did it on purpose because they wanted to emphasize that this is just a temporary thing. This is just, you know, this year. So, but we give gold medals, you know, that thing lasts forever. So we get a crown that lasts. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. All right. Or as a certain politician said, 2 Corinthians. I don't know. Somebody who never read it. All right. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. All right. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away. Look at me and other people my age. Not to say names, but outwardly we're wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, because but on what is unseen, because what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Yes, in Christ we're achieving an eternal glory. Man, when you cross that finish line, even if you have to crawl, even if they have to kind of drag you across, you get eternal glory, not some laurel wreath. And a building from God, an eternal home in heaven. All right, point number four. Do you remember point number one?
Pace yourself?
No. Well,
run
so as to win. Run as if to win. All right. Point number two. Everybody who finishes the race wins. Point number three, we have an eternal crown. Point number four. That's four in some other language. Point number four, Paul makes this point going back to 1 Corinthians 9, thank you, which is we need to go into strict training. Strict training. So, again, Davion's planning on doing the pole vault in 2028. You know the thing with the stick and they go over the bar, that thing, you know, pole vault, they bend it, rip that one, yeah, okay. Okay, now if you're going to do the pole vault, there's a lot of skills you got to work on. You have to have sprinting speed. It's a sprinting sport. And so you got to work on that. And then, but then it's the upper body strength. And you got to work on that and all this other stuff. So here's what Paul said. All right, let me see where my notes, yeah. Paul says here in I'll go back to verse 21. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Imagine somebody said to you, yeah, I'm going to be competing in the Olympics in 2024. Oh, really? What have you been doing lately? I don't know. I've been just going out to the pizza place and watching movies and just kind of catching up on my sleep. You go, whatever, dude. Whatever. Whatever. How about your quiet times? How about it? How about reading of the scriptures? How about getting advice in your life? How about encouraging one another? How about that strict training? And so Paul says, I'm running so as to win the prize, so I go into strict training. And you can imagine what that strict training involved for Paul. All right? And then in verse 27, he says, no, I strike a blow to my body. He's not speaking literally his physical body. He's saying, I beat myself. I push myself. I'll study the Bible with somebody even though I'm tired. And I'll make 5 follow-up calls. I have the energy to make 2 follow-up calls. So I make 5 follow-up calls. And by the way, just, I want to give praise to Zane because I've asked you, I would say in the last 2 weeks, I've asked you at least 4 times about whether you've been following up with certain people, right? Yeah. And every single time, the answer was yes. Amen. Every single time, the answer was yes. Because we got a bunch of baby Christians that have to be looked after. And thank God for sending sending Alan to help us out. Thank God for sending Francisco to help us out. Thank God for sending Ken to help us out. And what's her name? Sarah, who's going to come and help us out. Yeah, you don't know who that is, but she's going to come here. Yep. And as she's planning on hopefully moving here, but not until the end of the school year because she's a teacher. From Boston, yeah. Amen. All right. So Paul beats his body. Now, I've got a question. Would it be fair to say that the Olympic athletes go into strict training?
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. And they have a trainer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
They have the equivalent of what we call discipling. Mm. And do they listen to their trainer?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they do. And do they get the best trainer? Are they going to give him a trainer that's going to say, hey, you know, take it easy?
No.
No. They want a mean trainer. Not mean as in, you know, evil or doing damage to you, but somebody is going to call them higher. Have you been eating spiritual junk food? Having just a quick quiet time? I just read the scripture of the day. I prayed. Yeah, did you pray yesterday? Yeah, I prayed before I fell asleep. Of course, I fell asleep within 30 seconds, but at least I prayed. All right? Now, if you were running a marathon, do you think you'd be tired?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. Or whatever the Olympic event is. Do you ever feel like quitting as a Christian? Yes, all of us do. Maybe not literally like I'm going to leave the Lord, but you feel like I just need a break. Do you think people ever thought that Paul was a little bit crazy?
Yes.
Yeah, look in 2 Corinthians 5. If I am, in quotes, out of my mind, he was quoting his opponents, and his opponents were Christians, by the way. Those are the ones telling him he's out of his mind.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amen, bro.
Did Paul ever wonder, am I out of my mind? Yes, he did. I mean, if you got shipwrecked for the second time or you know, whipped, at some point you're going to think, this is a little crazy. Mm-hmm. It's a little crazy for Jen and I coming here. It's a little crazy. Our fellow old people, they don't say it what they're thinking, which is, I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there you go. Okay. There you go. Yeah. But you know what? Paul was thinking about the thousands who'd been saved. He was remembering that. I'm sure he was. Yeah. In fact, it's not in my notes, but I want to go there. I want to go to 2 Timothy. I think I've used this passage before, but it's very appropriate in this context, I think. Yeah. Yeah, verse 6. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out, 2 Timothy 4 verse 6, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward for me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Yeah, I'm sure Paul felt like it was crazy at times, but as he's nearing his life, he's in mile 24. In this case, it was probably in mile 26. He's in prison, will probably soon be executed. And Paul was feeling awesome. He's like, man, I'm tired. You know, I'm ready to go. Yeah. So imagine you're 75 or 85 years old as a disciple. You're looking back at your life. Are you going to wish you'd had, you know, another video game? Are you going to wish you'd had that? Are you going to wish that you'd, you know, fill in the blank? You know what I'm saying?
A Tesla.
Yeah, a Tesla instead of a whatever. Will you regret, oh man, I didn't get to see the Super Bowl, you know? For about 10 years in a row, I didn't see any of the football playoffs because I was always somewhere in Asia. They don't watch them.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, this is, you know, will you regret not having the newest gadget? Or that beautiful decorating item on your wall in your house. Or, you know, that, I don't know, clothing item or pair of shoes. I don't know, I'm probably being too specific here. What will you be thinking about as you're near the end of your life? You're going to think about how God was able to use you. How you ran the race. But you know what? Your race starts in 2024. That's the only year you can do anything about right now. You can't do anything about 2023.
Yes, sir.
That slate is wiped clean. Amen. Through the blood of Jesus, it's literally wiped clean. Not, maybe not literally, but you know, it's wiped clean. But you got 2024.
Yep.
What are you going to do with 2024? Paul said at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race.
Oh,
he says, now there is in store for me the crown of life. So, using a sports analogy, I forgot to advance the thing, yeah. There you go, that's the one I just read. Oh well. Anyway. So, our point is this. Run your Christian race in 2024 so as to win the prize. Recognizing is, as long as you keep running, you're gonna win the prize. And you're going to get a crown of glory that will last forever. Therefore, spiritually, let's go into strict training this year. Let's have awesome quiet times every day. Hey, I'll settle for 340 out of 365. Honestly, that's good enough. That's good enough. Because you're not literally in the Olympics. You know what I'm saying? But let's have great times with God this year. Let's have those discipling times regularly. Yes, let's get that mentoring. All right, go into strict training. Oh, I skipped a whole page in my notes. Oh no. How'd that happen? There's five. Oh, here's the page well. The other point was having a plan. This is a terrible, don't ever use this as an example of how to do a lesson, but let's go back to 1 Corinthians 9. I forgot point five. I forgot point five. 1 Corinthians 9. He says, therefore I do not run like somebody running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. He's not just randomly spending money, exerting himself. He has a plan. He's doing these spiritual activities that are part of the normal spiritual activity of a Christian life, but it's all part of a plan. He has some goals. I remember 16 years ago, I set a goal to write a book on Christian history. You know how long it took me? 16 years. 16 years. And last year, the fourth volume got published. That feels good. But you know what? If I was beating the air, I mean, that one goal, I kept coming back to it. And the 29th book I read on that topic, and I've got another five books to go. Paul, he says, I'm not wasting time. I've got a plan. I've got a vision for this year. I've got a vision for, I'm going to go and I'm going to plant this church in Thessalonica. And after that, I'm going to go and I'm going to go to Berea. But then next year I'm going to go back to Amphipolis and, Derbe and Lystra, and I'm going to take, he's got some plans. So what's your plan? Are you just going to finish out the year? Is that your plan to just start the year and go through the year and then just get to the end of the year and that's it? Or do you have some vision for what can actually happen, what God can do through you this year? That was point five. That's the page on my notes I skipped. But anyway, I've been going long enough, so we got to do this part here. So let me just finish that. All right. So here's what I want us to do. I'm going to sit down because I want this to be a group discussion. All right. But I want us to share and see what I'm going to have you do, because I'm not going to remember it. I could write it down, but text me.
We could put it on a spreadsheet.
Yeah, we could put it on a spreadsheet. In fact, I guess I'll write stuff down, but I also want you guys to text me. Okay.